Awesome.
Bless you guys. Everybody's greeted each other. Spring day. Is there spring in your step? Spring in your day? Amen. So what theme are we busy with? Is anybody learning something so far? Good. I'm excited. I haven't even started yet. Just warming up. So, let me recap. Just a little bit. I'm going to go into all the details about prayers we spoke about, different kinds of prayers and why prayers get answered, why they don't, and what it means to be a house of prayer. We looked at a building being a place where we go to and our bodies being a house of prayer. So the background that I had in my BC days, that's before Christ, when I was jawling and living flat out for the devil, I grew up in a lot of nightclubs and discos. Those days, there was nothing called a rave, but we used to rave. But it wasn't called a rave, but we used to rave. And we'd go from disco to disco to disco, being in Joburg, the nightclubs in Joburg, CBD. Hillbrow was a very different place. Joburg, CBD, Marshalltown. I can think of all the club names now. I'm not going to mention them. But so that's the background that I had. And the way the devil messed me up was not with substance abuse, but I got up to nonsense. The devil could use me when I was stone cold sober. I was the designated driver for our group of friends because they knew my friends' parents wouldn't allow them to drive the cars because they knew they'd probably write them off. But if Mozzie could drive, then you guys could have the transport and go out on the jaw and do what you needed to do. And I'd go from disco to disco to nightclub trying to dance my sorrows away. Believe me, I cannot dance. I have no moves. I'm not Fred Astaire, but I would just gyrate. And trying to dance my sorrows away. And that's the background that I have in my BC days. And so if you've never experienced that, nightclubs are like usually dark and there's lasers and all these fancy lights and smoke machines and laser machines, and there was even bubble machines. I remember in Claim Street, Joburg, the Thunderdome. How many of you remember the Thunderdome? When the Thunderdome came out, you had like different levels where you could go doom, 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 doom. So you don't like the ground floor, you got an up floor. And on the main dance floor, they had bubble machines. It was just like radical. And these laser lights. And I'm trying to create a picture here this morning. So that's the background that I come from. You needed to hear that this morning to understand what I'm going to say this morning. So the good thing is, because there's a positive to everything, is that there's no internet connection this morning. So there's going to be nobody at home that I'm going to offend, only the people within this building. So I don't go out of my way to offend you, but I'm going to share some stuff that I've been wondering about in seeking God's face and getting his heart for this thing called God's house of prayer. And what the church culture has become and what it is today. So imagine a place where we spoke about it last week, where the presence of God is so tangible that you don't actually need hundreds of thousands of US dollars to create the right atmosphere. Imagine a place where God's presence is so strong where you don't need all these fancy lights to put on some spectacular light display and light show. Now, please hear my heart. I'm not knocking that. I'm not saying it is wrong. I'm not saying a place where people worship God where that is not of the Lord. Does everybody understand what I'm saying this morning? I'm telling you my background. And then in growing into this thing, I said, but God is a God of light. Surely we can, we use sound waves to worship the Lord, don't we? Why can't we use light? Sound waves is simply the slowest form of light in the form of radio waves. Surely you can worship God with spectacular light displays. Are you okay with that? You know, some people have questioned like the smoke machines. I don't know. I don't have a theological stance on that. The point I'm trying to make this morning is that I'm having difficulty coming to terms with discerning as Mozzie the difference between the inside of a nightclub and the inside of a church building. Can anybody relate to what I'm saying? So people say, yo, Mozzie, Matsand, you know, it's we gotta structure our worship in such a way that it's seeker friendly. In other words, somebody that they must feel just as home in a church building as they do in a nightclub. Oh, but I thought church was all about Jesus. Did I miss something? Some of you are looking and thinking, where is this going with this? I'm just trying to illustrate a point. If we want God's house to be a house of prayer, surely we got to be relying on the presence of God. Can we have lights and sound and spectacular displays to glorify Him? Yes. Is it good for the kids? Yes. Is it good for older people? Yes. It's wonderful. I love an extremely powerful sound system where clever people have told me that a bass wave is 9 meters long. I love feeling that bass wave go right through my core. The boom, 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 boom. Can anybody relate to what I'm saying? Come on, church. I love those things. It's great. But folks, if I'm having to rely on something that appeals to my senses to get me to connect with God, surely I'm missing something. Surely I'm missing something. Now hear this. The blueprint of all creation is in sound waves. The blueprint of all creation is in sound waves. God didn't think, let there be. God didn't write, let there be. God didn't mold, let there be. God said, let there be. And His word is still traveling today. The universe is still expanding because God's word is still saying, let there be. And sound is powerful. Sound is important. That's why you've got to speak the word of God over yourself and into your life. You can't just think it. I'm going to give you a practical demonstration for those that have never had the privilege of doing LTS, which is Life Transformational School. When I say go, I want you to, in your mind, count to 10. 1001, 1002, just like that, okay? At a nice steady pace. All right, when I say go, you count to 10. And then when I clap my hands, or when I go, I want you to say your name out loud. Don't think your name. So you think in your head, 1001. 1,000. And when I go, I want you to say your name. Are you ready? Okay, go. What happened to the counting in your head when you spoke your name? Exactly the same way. Van hierdie vyand met jou kop kom smokkel, and he starts telling you lies. You can't think, oh, devil, just get away from you. You say, Satan, get behind me in the name of Jesus. Greater is Jesus in me than you that's in the world. God's not given me a spirit of fear or timidity, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. Where do you think that devil's going to be? He's gone, but he's gone. He's left you alone. Because you get to a point where your words are the words of Jesus. He cannot discern in the spirit who's speaking, you or the one who made him. So sound is important. Because as the sound goes, so the atmosphere goes. As the atmosphere goes, so the battle goes. And as the battle goes, so your destiny goes. And so it's important to create the atmosphere with the music. We rely heavily on anointed and skilled musicians to do that. Not entertainers, not performers. So if you've got a problem with the music, I don't like this song, Pastor. I don't like that song. This song's too short. This song's too long. Guess what? It's not about you. It's not actually about you and the genre of music you like. Yes, it's good to have music that sounds good to the ears. But if I come here on a Sunday and I'm going to rely on these folks for me to connect with God, the issue is not with them. Whether Darren misses a beat on the drum, or Wendy is a bit false, or Leon can't, or any of this. It's not about them. It's about me. I've got to have a checkup from the neck up. I need an attitude adjustment. So I'm wondering, when they say seeker friendly, and I get that, and folks, I haven't come to a conclusion on these things yet, because God, you see, God is God. God's going to do what God's going to do, whether we got smoke machines and lights and whatever, or whether we don't. The point I'm trying to make this morning, church, for the context of where we are at. Imagine, and people have said, yeah, but people feel more comfortable when it's dark. They feel more free to lift their hands. Okay, so you're ashamed to lift your hands, and you'd rather not have people see you. Wow. Wow. I wonder. Now, Matthew 10:32, Jesus says, if you honor me before my Father, I'll honor you. If you honor me before men, I'll honor you before my Father. If you deny me before men, I'm going to deny you before my Father. You know, if I'm so full of myself that I'm conscious of what people think of me, that I'm more comfortable to, you know, like, okay, it's dark, so I can just get excited for Jesus. King David was such a different man. He worshipped the Lord in spirit and in truth to the point where his own wife dissed him. You disgusting, you call yourself a king? Look at you getting excited for Jesus, for God, in your underwear. She was struck barren and never could bear children again. The result was fruitlessness in her lives because of a criticism of somebody else's true worship. So you come to church and you're old school. Sorry, Mare, that's a da na na na, la 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 la. Or hand me down that bottle of tequila, Sheila. Whatever your genre of music is, and Louis comes up here with a hardcore rock, and you diss that style of music. Be careful that you're not being critical of somebody's worship, people, please. Lest you be struck barren. Some people believe in electric guitars of the devil. That's devil-simmer-sick. Let me teach you the truth of the word this morning. Is that okay, church? Who invented sound? Thank you. Who stole it and abused it? So there's not a single genre of music that's of the devil. Did you hear that? What about death metal? What about it? Sometimes you've got to have righteous indignation when you engage the enemy. Because Jesus loves me, the Son of... You say, Noah was a Noah. He knew the heart of God. Noah was a Noah. He knew the heart of God. What did I just say? Noah was a Noah. He knew the heart of God. Noah was a Noah. He knew the heart of God. Don't criticize the genre of music because you just don't get it. Huh? Surely the devil has stolen stuff and now he abuses it in the world? Why is the ministry of music so attacked? You know, oh, hekel, stikkel, jylle, hier kom 'n preek. Satan's responsibility was the praise and worship in heaven. Out of the three archangels, he was the head, Lucifer. He was the one to generate the praise. And then he was kicked out of heaven, whatever, and you think, why is there such a satanic influence in music today? Well, guess what he's doing? What is he doing? You know? So when we come here, when we come, the house of prayer, what makes it a house of prayer? First of all, I got to come with that hungry heart. I got to come willing to receive from the Lord. My head's got to be right. My heart's got to be right. You know? And then we work with what we've got. Yeah, it would be wonderful to have, like, to be able to manipulate the light like we want to, but we don't have it, so we don't have it. Okay? But God is still God. God is still God. He can make this a house of prayer if we just write in our hearts, folks. Is that making sense to somebody this morning? The house of prayer. And before we started this God's House of Prayer, the series was Secrets and Shadows. And we spoke about, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Dwells. And I thought, Lord, sure. I can't speak about this and not get involved. Emotional. I can't. Imagine if this was a place where your glory dwells. Where your glory dwells. Where we don't need fancy lights, fancy music, fancy laser machines, smoke machines, hundreds of thousands or maybe millions of dollar sound systems. It would be wonderful to have that. But we would just come hungry and thirsty for the presence of God. So much so that He looks down from heaven and inhabits the praises of His people. Psalm 22. It says He inhabits the praises of His people. Do you know that God is light? He slows Himself down. To come inhabit the praises of His people when they worship in spirit and in truth. Imagine if this place was a place where God's glory dwells. Ek weet nie van julle nie, maar ek smag daarna. I don't care what the building looks like. I don't care whether we own it or we don't. I long for the place where God's glory dwells. Where people just step into His presence and something's there. And it's a living God. I said last week, imagine how awesome it would be if I didn't even have to preach. God's just God. How do we get there? Praying, 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 praying. So, true story, Smith Wigglesworth, one of the generals of faith way back when the Dead Sea was only critical and Moses still played fullback for Israel. He was a young man. Smith Wigglesworth was on his day off, sitting in a park, just trying to be alone, just trying to just get away from people and stuff and ministry and church and busyness, just trying to get away. An illiterate plumber, couldn't read, always walked around with a tool bag full of plumbing tools in case somebody needed their plumbing fixed. So his wife dies and God raises her from the dead through him. And she says, I knew you were going to do this. I knew you were going to do this. Just let me go home to be with the Lord. That's the kind of walk this man had. So one day he's on his off day, sitting in the park bench, trying to be alone. And a stranger walks by, kneels in front of him and said, Sir, you convict me of my sins. And he preached Jesus and the man got born again. Because of the presence of God in this man who was hungry and thirsty for God. Imagine we pray that Real Life Ministries gets to the place where an unsaved person living flat out for the devil just comes in the driveway here, doesn't make it from their car, gets to the front, to the door, just goes down on their knees and says, tell me about this Jesus of yours. That happened years ago. A man called Tommy Tenney authored a book called The God Chasers. I'd encourage you to read it. Someone who was preaching, and God decided, I'm tired of being misrepresented. He came and he split the pulpit in two. And he just started being God. God's house of prayer. Don't raise your hand. How many of you would like that? He said, don't raise your hand. God's house of prayer. God's house of prayer. The place where God's glory dwells. A place where God feels comfortable. A place where God feels right at home. Jesus never spoke anything unless he spoke about the kingdom of God. He never spoke anything unless he spoke about the kingdom of God. So if we're not speaking about the kingdom of God, what the heck are we talking about, people? What are we talking about? Ons mortal state and the breath that God has given us. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is built on the condition of man's heart. What does that mean, Mozzie? Well, I know now because we're going to be building a children's church soon, hallelujah, that this area requires what they call a raft foundation. It looks like a waffle maker. You know a waffle maker? You put the dough in and presses it and it gets the pattern on the waffles. Anybody? The foundation has to be like that because of the type of ground and where we are. So the foundation is specific to what is to come. Is somebody getting this morning? The foundation is specific to what is to come. Church, starting with me, because I'm the biggest mouth in this building and I've got a microphone, the condition of my heart needs to be right for His kingdom come and His will to be done in this place, for this place to be a house of prayer. I need my heart realigned. I need my head fixed up. I need my bad attitude repented of. I need my prejudices done away with. I need my preconceived ideas done away with. I need my bitterness and my anger at people done away with. I need my hurts healed. I need my mind changed. I don't know about you. I know you guys, you got it together. I'm speaking for myself. My heart needs to be right before God will say, okay. Now that's the building. What about our personal house of prayer? It stopped at 10 minutes. How many minutes have I been preaching? Somebody help me, please. It stopped at 10 o'clock. Hoe laat het ek begin? The time is not on. Nee, kom julle. Sommige mense kan net soveel vat vir my, hoor. How many minutes? Jekkel, stukkel. That's not even the introduction. Okay. So we ended off last week about speaking about James 3 and what it means to pray amiss when your motives are not aligned with God's motives, and then we wonder why our prayers don't get answered. So to start off this week, if we just simply live out the two great commandments in our lives, what are the two great commandments? Somebody speak to me. I want to pick on the people at the back. Come on, swear. What's the two greatest commandments? Come on, swear. The two greatest commandments. Charles, kom praat met my broer. Jy's vir jare al in hierdie kerk. Moenie vir my sê jy kan nie sê nie. Jules, what's the two greatest commandments? What? I do. I want to know from you. No, wrong answer. Kom ons hoor. Listen, the scripture says, from the mouths of babes and infants, truth is ordained. Kom ons hoor.
Your naaste lief as yourself.
So it takes a kid. What about the adults? Surely we should be teaching them. Sies julle? The two greatest commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. So we said, to sum it up, Christianity, that's it. Just love God, love people. And to do that, we need to be prayerful people. We need to be prayerful people. Sometimes we need to be careful. Sometimes we need to care less. Not be careless, but to care less. That means worry less. So for us to fulfill those two great commandments, we need to be a people of prayer. And the most effective way to live out these commandments is through prayer. When we pray like Jesus taught us, we're going to get to that in weeks to come. These things will be a reality in our heart. So I've got 10 minutes left. So just an introduction then. This is still the same set of notes from week one. So Romans chapter 5. Come with me to Romans chapter 5 and let's pick up from verse 3. I've just given the guys from verse 5. But Romans chapter 5 and verse 3 says, we glory in tribulations. It's like, yay, we're being persecuted. How many of you have jumped up in excitement when you've faced tribulation? Nobody. So none of us are living that then. Like, yes, Lord, there's tribulations. Hallelujah. Bring it on, devil. I mean, these oaks had something that we're lacking. We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. Verse 4, this hope does not disappoint. Verse 5, because the love of God has been poured abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Being shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. For we know how dearly God loves us because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love. I want to talk this morning to close off, and I should have started with this, but anyway, here we go. Love from God and love for God. Love from God. So, well, what does that mean? Well, love, a lot of times in the world, is the word used to describe sex. I love you. Or they made love. Some of you are getting very hot and your faces are blushing. God created sex for men and women to enjoy in the confines of marriage. Moenie dat die duivel jou skaam kry oor something beautiful that God has given to us. So love, what does that mean? Well, love, I love this, I love that. Now we know there's four kinds of love in the scriptures. We're not going to go into that, but to get God kind of love, how do you get God kind of love? So let's say love from God means this, and I pray towards this. I don't want to say I work towards this because of myself, I don't have it. I pray towards this and I long towards this. The kind of love that when I look at somebody, I don't think, you little so-and-so, you jerk, how dare you? But love from God is love that when He touches your heart and you have this intimacy this way, you can give and receive love this way. Folks, you will never ever in your wildest dreams, no matter what you do, no matter what any philosopher says, no whatever psychological mumbo jumbo, hoo-ha, boom, bang, shang-a-lang lies there are out, I don't know how else to describe it anymore. No matter what they tell you about love, you never ever can experience real scriptural love this way until you've experienced it and encountered it this way. Until you understand that God so loved, you know how much He loved you. Till you understand that. And to understand that, it comes through prayer. I pray and I long to be at the place where I have love for God, from God. And I shared this before years ago. God changed my heart and is still changing my heart because I haven't arrived. I'm on my way. I haven't arrived. I'm on my way. I was riding in the traffic and there were so many idiots on the road. And you know them. You are them. And as Philly says, I am the idiot on the road. Somebody else is looking at you, they're thinking, look at this clown, and you the clown. You think, this traffic is so bad, you are the traffic, man. And I was in the traffic, and I was giving people names that their parents never gave them. Because everybody who passes me is a maniac, and everybody in front of me is a slow coach. I'm the only one that's driving the perfect speed. Now you can tell I wasn't in my happy place because I was in a full vehicle. I wasn't on my motorcycle. If it was on my motorcycle, it would have been way different. But I was in my vehicle. And I was getting miffed with people and angry. And, yeah, like that, my boy. I mean, you've seen mom and dad be exactly like that in the car, haven't you? Be real. Yeah. Jules and Renee, they bust. So, and the Lord said this to me, what would it be like if you saw these people as sheep without a shepherd instead of idiots behind a steering wheel? Suddenly, I was knocked off my high and mighty horse, flat to the ground. What if you saw all of these people as sheep without a shepherd instead of idiots beyond steering wheels? I said, Lord, change my heart. Change my heart. I learned that everybody is carrying some kind of a cross I know nothing about. Everybody's going through some kind of a burden I know nothing about. That oak that I've just flicked in my head, you might be rushing to the hospital to say goodbye to a loved one. The hospital might have given him the call and said, come now. Who knows? You know? Who knows? So the love of God, let's just start there, the love of God. For the love of God to be poured out in your heart by the Holy Spirit, you've got to be ready for that. I'll close with this, and then I've been over half an hour now, haven't I, Dennis? So, and I'll close with this, and then be. So years ago, I was involved in Christian ministry. I had leadership responsibility. I wasn't paid to preach yet. I was still a detective and studying the police flats in Norwood, and that was a flat, but it was a nice big flat. So when I wanted to pray, I could go to the farthest end of the flat and just make a noise with God, and it wouldn't disturb Colette. It was a Saturday evening. Later, she was sleeping, and I went to the furthest corner. I had a big tropical marine fish tank, so long I could lay in it. And Renee came to visit me at the flat one day. She says, just put, you can baptize people in here. But I built it specifically that it just go through the standard doorway. And I was right there with the fish tank in the corner because it was the furthest part of the flat. And I was praying, thinking I'm spiritual. Lord, give me your love. Give me your love for people. Because, you know, CMA is an evangelical outreach ministry about going out and telling people about Jesus. And yeah, I come with this prayer. Clueless. Lord, give me your love for people. Give me your love for people. And God said, okay. And it's like God took me and pinned me against the wall in the passage like this. Pinned me against the wall like this. And I was there. And it's like he opened my chest and it took a big, big, big syringe from heaven and he put it down into my heart and he started pouring his love into my heart. He started putting his love into my heart. And as this was happening, my heart broke and it broke and it broke deeper and deeper and deeper. And I felt compassion for lost people like I'd never experienced in my life before. For the first time that I could remember, God broke my heart with the things that break his heart. Wouldn't you like, I was a speeder geweest in Joburg. You got to be tougher than nails. I once saw my chest hairs and I thought, chest hairs aren't supposed to grow on steel. I'm made out of tungsten. I'm almost bulletproof. Oh, it's steel wool. That's okay. Now you have to be tough as a cop. Yes, Andre. Oh, you got to be tough, man. You got to be tough. Or stuff will just flatten you. So I was hard, hard. Yeah, and yeah. And yeah, hardnekkig and stubborn. And God broke my heart for people. And people, from praying, Lord, show me your love, my prayer turned to, Lord, stop it, please. I cannot take any more. Stop. And he did. Sadly, for 18 months, for 18 months, I felt nothing for no one. You don't want to listen? Then go to hell. Cheers. I'll point you in the direction. Can you understand the point I'm trying to make? Ek was onverskillig. And I was in ministry. I had leadership responsibility, doing all the outreaches and all the hier kom die hemelbestormer CMA and al ons glory. No love for people. No love for people. No love for people. And I was messed up for 18 months like that because I thought I was ready to love people. Like God loves people. And one day after 18 months, those years we used to have a separate tent at the CMA coffee tent where we would pray. So you start counseling somebody, start ministering to them, you take them to the side and you take them to the prayer tent. And in the prayer tent, God broke my heart again. And my passion for people, compassion for people, God gave me. And my life's never been the same since then. And I'm growing in it all the time, as we all should. But it changed the way I look at people. And I'm still growing in it. I still get angry at people and still get to the point where I have to repent and just rewind a little bit and say, Lord, help me see this person the way you see this person. Help me see this person. The only difference between that person and me is the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, the only way we're going to get there is through prayer. I can't teach you about love for it to become rhema in your life. You have to pray and ask God, God, fulfill that verse. Pour your love out in my heart by the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to love people like you love people? And when we do that, when people know, and this place becomes known as the most loving place in town, we won't have to go out and evangelize. There won't be place for people to come in. There won't be place for people to come in because they'll encounter the real love of a real living God when this becomes God's house of prayer. I'm done. Let's pray. if you can, pray this prayer in your heart. Just humor me this morning. Make this a prayer. It's not a song. It's a prayer. I want to be your expression in the earth. I want the world to see your face. Here I am, Lord, use me according to your will. Make my life a life of praise. You can pray it with me in your heart. I want to be your expression in the earth. I want the world to see your face. Here I am, Lord, use me according to your will. Make my life a life of praise. Make my life a life of praise. And that's the prayer of our hearts, Father. That's a prayer of our hearts. You're the potter and we are the clay. Would you take our lives and let it glorify you by the things we do and the things we say in our public life and in our private lives, Father. Let our lives glorify you, and may we be the expression of Jesus in this world. May we be those who truly emit the fragrance of Jesus wherever we go. And when the pressures of life comes and the difficulties and the attacks of the devil, when the pressure comes on us, may that which comes out of us be the heart and the life and the love and the power of Jesus, heaven's Christ, our King and our Lord and our Savior. And you're sitting there this morning and the Spirit of God is speaking to you. You know there's attitudes in your heart that's not the way God would love. And there's unforgiveness and hurt and bitterness that you've been hanging on to. And you want that just swept clean. You want the Holy Spirit to pour out the love of God in your heart more than ever before. If that's you, would you just say, here I am, Lord, use me. Use me, Lord. Holy Spirit, all these words that we've been hearing for over half an hour, would you translate it to me and to my life and show me what it means to me in a context van waar ek is? Here, hoe pas ek dit toe? Here, ek het klaar gehoor, ek is moeg gehoor. Nou wil ek hier uitloop onder die salwing van die Heilige Gees en het uitleef. Ek wil nie net hoor nie, ek wil het uitleef. Heilige Gees, salf my. Geef vir my die vermoë om dit te kan doen. Beginnende by myself. Help my om vir myself lief te wees soos wat u my lief hê. Nie met selfsugtigheid nie, maar met 'n goddelike liefde vir myself. Help my om lief te wees vir my naasbestaandes, my familie, my man, my vrou, my kinders, my ouers. Help me, Lord, to love those around me. Help me to love the unlovable, Lord. Help me to love my enemies, pray for my enemies, and to bless those who persecute me. Help me to bless those who persecute me, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Family, thank you for making the time to listen this morning. May the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with you all. And God willing, we'll see each other same time, same place next week. I'm going to continue preaching. I'm going to practice for next week's sermon, so you're more than welcome to leave. But if you want to say, no, just kidding. I feel like I just want to worship the Lord. Guys, play a song there and lead us out. Travel safely. And see you guys next time. Thank you.
I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Is found is where you are.